He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
We are always looking for all sorts of commercials as part of our entertainment on Super Bowl Sunday, and car commercials are usually a big part of that. I think there were a lot less car commercials, and actually a bunch of other companies pulled out of the Super Bowl, or at least reduced their presence. And I thought it'd be interesting to just review what we saw last night or in the days leading to the Super Bowl. Jill, I don't know, have you seen any of the ads?
I did.
So what did you think?
I didn't have the most fun ad year.
Well, I think
I'm trying to be diplomatic. You know, this is not. Hey, if I ruled the world, I'd put a little more humor into things. Gentle humor, but humor nevertheless. So everything was just so strikingly serious. Not everything, but the general tone was so serious that I just didn't have as much fun or focus as I normally do.
Well, I think that the times we're going through a kind of sort of dictated that, and people in the ad business were probably being a little prudent in their messaging. I thought the GM, if anybody saw this ad for the Cadillac Lyric featuring Will Ferrell, was probably the funniest of the ads, and also the one that I think best gave you an idea of where GM was going in the next decade or two, which is clearly down the electric road. And you know, it was funny. No Way Norway, and the ad was all about Norway being the number one seller of electric vehicles per capita. I think actually in Norway they sell more electric cars than they do internal combustion engine cars. And so, anyway, I thought that was funny. What I thought was interesting, I had not noticed that at the end of the commercial, we saw what was the first time for me the new GM logo, and I'll come back to that in a bit. The other ads, Jeep had a very patriotic let's meet back in the middle message featuring.
Bruce
Springsteen. Thank you.
You were, no, yeah. But I that was one that I wanted to really, really love. But you know, I liked the middle part. You know, because it was nice to know about the that church. You know, that seemed pretty cool. But
yep.
To me, that could have been about a minute shorter.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Toyota featured something that was a tear-eyeing feature of this Paralympic swimmer who was adopted from Siberia. What's her name? Jessica Long? Is that it? I thought the Vroom ad was probably the most nitty-gritty, you know, attack on the car sales system that we know today, and a direct attack on car dealers, where you see this one person being tortured by a car salesman, and that was pretty much it, right?
Because there was a game that was on, so I did find that I was
kind of missed that one too, by the way. But anyway,
did you? What do you have a view as to what they will do for car sales?
You mean these manufacturers with these ads?
These particular ads. Do you think that they're
zero?
Okay.
And I think that I don't want to go into a long analysis of advertising and marketing in general. But I think it was a presence. It always is a presence and a branding thing. And I think they tried to position themselves. I think the common theme between the big three, if we can still call them that, Jeep, which is part of Fiat Chrysler and now Stellantis, Ford and GM, was to portray them as, responsible companies in these transitioning times. And back to your point, there was not a lot of fun in that. But I think that was the message. What was Ford? I mean, Ford seemed to be like the PPE advertiser of the three, and GM was that big commitment to their future. And so back to that, I thought it was interesting that I don't know, did you notice that GM logo, the new GM logo?
No.
So the new GM logo, when we think of the GM logo, we see capital fonts, GM underlined in a blue square, right? And it's been like that for decades. And there might have been, most car companies will, most consumer products will have their logo evolve, but it'll be a slight change from the previous version of it. Volkswagen just changed their logo, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. Ford has made, changes to their logo. But over time, you don't really notice that the logo has changed all that much. This new logo of GM is a departure from that, the one we know. It's still just the two letters, but they're lowercase letters. The edges are rounded, and obviously the message is to emphasize and portray that desire to go all electric within the next, I don't know if it's 2035, 2040. They want to be carbon neutral by 2040. And kudos to them. It's a huge endeavor, and we'll see where it goes. I did a little reading this morning about graphic design comments on the logo, and there's a mixed comments out there, but it's definitely bold. Back to GM, I still have to wonder personally why they're trying to go forward with this totally new product range. They start with the Cadillac Lyric, EV, whatever, the electric version is, the new Hummer, I've said it a gazillion times, I still can't figure out why they are not using the Chevy Bolt as a promotional tool for that business model, as it is still, I think, probably the most affordable electric car on the market right now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the logo here, just from a totally different standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use a Robin Leach word. I do not find it muscular.
That's right. It isn't.
Being old, I don't know how that is, whether or not that's relevant. But this strikes me as pretty, I'm going to go with weak. It looks very much as though it was designed basically on a computer. Yeah, that's
well.
What
I'm sure it was designed on a computer, but I have mixed feelings. I think the move was bold. The people sitting in that boardroom that voted for that, and that any decision made at GM is in a room with two dozen people giving their input. I think the decision was bold. Whether it was the right thing to do, whether it portrays the right image, I don't know.
Okay, well, this we will be able to. Time will tell, as they say.
Time will tell.
I will agree. If you make a bold decision and it's New Coke or smokeless tobacco, going back some time, but these both did happen. You know, how bold is that if it turns out the way that those two did?
Good point. I think time will tell, right?
Exactly.
I think the tougher part for the tougher part for GM is making us believe that they are serious about this. I mean, the product range, you know, between the I don't even know how many brands they have and how many platforms and different products. I mean, trying to go all electric is a huge endeavor, no doubt, right? And it will take time. And how do you transition from one vehicle in your whole product offerings, you know, with initially just Chevy Bolt, which for the last few years has been the single electric car that they have in their portfolio? How do you go from there to having an all-electric fleet? And again, I think the dealer network and how they convince dealers to start promoting electric cars is going to be, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And as we've mentioned before, you know, dealers make money not just selling cars, but also maintaining cars. And again, there's a lot less maintenance on electric cars than there are on internal combustion engine cars. And to that point, I was also just reading a quick article this morning where, you know, the headline was, oh, geez, German cars cost so much to repair. And you know, we'll hear that over and over again. But the article was also going through all those pretty standard but pretty substantial repairs that are part of a maintenance of a car over time. You know, things like shocks or struts replacement, replacing a starter, replacing an alternator, replacing a serpentine belt, all these things that sometimes cost a lot of money in the best case scenario, timing belts, I forgot those, and can cost crazy amounts of money in some of the German luxury brands. And dealers, you know, I was thinking about that. Dealers make money on their shop. In fact, they probably make more money on their shop than they do selling cars. So, you know, where are they going to make their profit in the next decades or so when we start seeing electric cars coming out of dealerships? It's not going to be easy. I mean, it is a revolution.
Right.
And as far as cost, you know, so you know, reading through this article about the cost of repairs, I think people have to keep in mind that when you do incur those repairs, and for those of us who, you know, like in our area where we're away from, you know, most dealerships for most brands are some driving distance away, so a lot of us have our cars serviced and maintained by smaller local shops. I think it's important to know that the way dealers charge for repairs is totally different than what your local little shop will do. Repairs have a set schedule fee. You know, a brake job costs so much. And you can ask beforehand. They'll tell you exactly how much it's going to cost for each one of those repairs. The good news is they can itemize it beforehand. I think that the not-so-good news is that, you know, they obviously cover themselves and they are making a good amount of money on each one of those repairs. I think where you come out ahead is if, you know, in your little shop, your little local shop, when they start taking your car apart and they incur, you know, a problem where they have to, some bolt won't come out and they spend 2 hours trying to get one bolt out of in the back of the engine, you know, you're going to pay for that time, whereas in a dealership, you know, that may be part of the set fee structure. Anyway, those repairs can be expensive.
True. And how do you find, because this is always the transition, but the gap, I'm going to call it, between the marketing, you know, the advertising, the marketing, the press, and then outside, you know, in what I'm going to call the real world. How any thoughts about that apart from Tesla?
I think Tesla is part of it. I mean,
Tesla to me, and again, this is not my profession. I don't spend a ton of time on it. So this is rather a civilian statement, but Tesla to me reminds me of is like the Prius of yore. It just seems as though they've got everybody else is going to be like Hertz. We're number two.
Right. Well, Tesla's message is very simple, right? You want an electric car, go
Tesla. Right.
And there's no choice. The conversation, the messaging is over right there.
Right, but it seems efficient and it seems as though it's worked.
Yes. Now, you know, it's a lot in that respect. It's a lot easier starting from scratch, right? I mean, it is a lot easier in some respect starting a starting to say, hey, I have this great idea. I'm going to build an electric car. My focus is 100% on that. I don't have to worry about any other product in the way. And GM and Ford and all the other manufacturers are obviously in a totally different position. You know, Tesla's biggest hurdle, and a lot of us didn't give him much of a chance of success, is the financial hurdle of entering the auto manufacturing business. And it's huge. And quite honestly, not many of us thought they would be able to do it. I thought early on that Tesla would sell out to a GM, a Ford. instead, they've become one of the most valuable companies in the world. So go figure that part out. But back to your, messaging, branding. I'm not sure. I personally don't watch a lot of TV. We don't read a lot of print magazine anymore. You know, we do everything online. I think that these companies are reinventing the way they market their products as well. And the traditional advertising that we used to see, in the quote-unquote old days, is slowly going away. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. But again, it's there's the hey, we're doing this, and then there's the hey, we're buying this, we're responding to it, we're involved, and sometimes there's a gap between the two, and that's what I was trying to get a sense of. So,
but back to your Prius analogy with Tesla, I think part of this buying an electric car is a statement. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, people bought Prius because plural. They bought those instead of buying hybrid Camrys, which was another hybrid that Toyota made, because you made a statement. People could see you were driving a hybrid car. You buy a Tesla partly because, you're showing the world that you're driving an electric car. And in a way it makes it easy. Tesla also makes it easy. You have, five colors per model, two powertrain options, two wheel sizes, and whether you want the full-blown autonomous driving experience or not, which costs $10,000. That's it. You can order Tesla in 2 minutes flat.
Right, and don't you think, and we're down to 5 minutes left, and you might want to do a safety tip, but don't you think that given ease of use and given people's facility at this point, that would be you just sit down and order it rather than going from place to place looking for their electric version? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think, Volkswagen with the ID4, Volkswagen has a huge, Volkswagen before GM made that commitment to electric vehicles, a couple of years ago. And they were kind of were pushed into that direction, partly because of their diesel scandal. So that certainly, I think, helped them make the decision and be bold and try to correct a negative image that they had. But it's not going to be easy. And why would I go buy, as much as I like the Volkswagen ID.4, then I look at it and I go and I say, well, why not just buy a Tesla? I mean, I hate to be saying this, but that's what the legacy manufacturers are going to encounter over the next few decades. It's going to be tough. So I wanted to talk real quickly about, I drive on a regular basis this Volvo, big Volvo SUV, it's a hybrid. And again, this is a car that had a hybrid option that cost 2 or 3 years ago $18,000. There's no way you can justify the hybrid version of that car from a financial standpoint. You know, you want to be, the reason you buy it is because you want to do the right thing. Well, this car has like got close to 60,000 miles now, and the average fuel economy over the duration of over its lifetime has been 31.7 miles per gallon. That's pretty darn good. Big SUV, 5,000 pounds. I just thought that I'd mention it. And Robin would be happy to hear that, yes, there is a place for hybrid vehicles, by the way.
Which is very good news. And again, I think that as this all plays out, you know, there's room for hybrids. But do people ever focus on the greenth of electric, the batteries and so forth, or is that just sort of not under?
I think that's the conversation. First of all, it's not a conversation we could start right now.
No,
right?
No, I understand.
But, it's a good one.
It's probably worth pursuing at some point.
Absolutely.
All right.
From a safety standpoint, it's still winter out there. We've had a few snowstorms. I was on the roads last night, and it got cold very quickly, and I was on Route 41 north of Salisbury, and there had not been any maintenance, and the road was slick. And it, on 44, through town, Lakeville, Salisbury, it was totally fine, but on 41, things were a little iffy. I've said it before. We live in a tri-state area. You go from one state to the other. Be careful. The way the DOTs maintain the roads is not the same. They're not on the same schedule. They don't do the same things. So when you go from New York to Mass or Connecticut to Mass or vice versa, just be aware. Be careful for the first few miles that you're on the roads.
He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.